Hello, this is Pastor Ryan Clark. You are listening to a message from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
This week, I was thinking about the newest member of our staff, Noah. He's now been with us, if you can believe it, almost a year and a half. And we get the privilege once again to go into the Christmas season with a really wonderful lead musician here at St. John's. And I was thinking about over the last 17, 18 months that he's been here, we've put a lot of responsibility on that young man. He wears a lot of hats. I was thinking about him this week. I was thinking about he not only leads our contemporary worship on Saturday night, but he also leads our traditional worship on Sunday morning. And we've got him leading all kinds of things for worship. We have him doing things like the men's breakfast and all of these other things that come during the middle of the week. He's going to be leading Holden Prayer coming up this Wednesday. We also have him leading the choir and the bell choir. I even asked him this last year to be the main person in the skits for Lent. And then he's also wearing the additional hat of husband this year. He's wearing a lot of hats. And if you get a chance to tell Noah thank you, make sure that you do. But if Noah was alive about 700 years ago in 14th century medieval England, he would be wearing yet another hat that looks like this. You see, during this time in the 14th century, London had several gates to its city, and there were guards stationed at each one of those gates. And the English law of the day required that these guards, ready for this, were to be the city's musicians. Now, the border patrolling could be a dangerous job. City gates were where attackers and other threatening outsiders would oftentimes first appear. Now, why would medieval England have as its guards musicians? Well, probably because they knew that if anything dangerous started approaching, the musicians had the ability to get the word out, to warn the people. They either had a big voice or they could play any number of instruments, but they were to be the watchmen who were warning people of the impending danger. Now, why do I bring this up? Because in our gospel lesson for today, God also has watchmen who are to be getting the word out about impending danger. And it's not just the musicians. It's all of us are called to be the watchmen for the Lord. In Matthew 24, Jesus says, "Therefore, keep watch," and he's speaking to us, "because you do not know what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come in an hour when you do not expect it." We have entered a new season with all the beautiful blue. I love the blue. I love the candles. It's called the season, like Kelly said, of Advent. That word Advent means arrival. And so it's a time of year that we spend about a month's time reflecting on, meditating on, the arrival of Jesus Christ. Now, first of all, we spend time thinking about, meditating on, preaching about the first arrival of Jesus as that little baby born in Bethlehem, the God-man, come here to this earth to live a perfect life and to die on that cross, to take away all of our sins so that we could be with him forever. But this is also a time, the season of Advent, that we think about the Lord's second arrival here on this planet, one that has yet to come, but one that the Lord said is coming very, very soon. And the second arrival of Jesus, the second Advent, is not going to be like the first. The first, he came meek and mild as that little baby, but the second arrival of Jesus, he will be coming as the king over every king with all of his angel hosts to make all things new. Now, for those of us that know Jesus, that believe in him, have put our trust in him, and have been baptized, that will be the best day ever for us, because he's coming back to get us, to bring us to that new and perfect heavens and earth where we will live with him and all those who have loved the Lord Jesus throughout all time, forever and ever. But for those who are not ready for him, who have not received Jesus, who have not been baptized, who are not waiting for him, that's going to be the worst day ever for those people. Now, there are two truths in the Bible concerning his second coming. The first one is this: we will not know the specific time of Jesus' return. In Matthew 25, Jesus says, "Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." We're not going to know specifically the day or the hour of Christ's return. And so if anyone comes up to you, or you read or listen to something on the internet saying that they know the day and the hour that Jesus is coming, what can you know for sure? It's not going to be that day, and it's not going to be that hour, because Jesus said nobody is going to know the day or the hour. That's specific. That being said, the Bible also says we are to recognize the season of his return. Just one chapter earlier, Jesus said this: "Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things taking place, you know that his return is near, right at the door." So we won't know the specific day or hour, but Jesus commands us to be on the lookout for the season in which he was going to return. So how can we know what that season's going to look like? Well, all throughout both the Old Testament and the New Testament, it tells us what that season is going to look like. Here are just a few. There will be a dramatic rise of false prophets and deception that covers the earth. That is certainly growing in our world today. There will be wars and rumors of wars, worldwide, world wars that will be going on. There are certainly a lot of wars in our world today and rumors of world war coming up. There will be a dramatic increase of wickedness in the world. I think all of us can see that all around us. There will be an increase of natural disasters and global crises. The number of earthquakes has dramatically increased over the last 100 years. And I just read yesterday that there are now 6 volcanoes that are going off that were previously dormant just a week ago. Right now in the world today, there will be a rapid increase of knowledge right before Jesus comes again. I read this crazy statistic this week that said that up until 100 years ago, we were doubling the amount of knowledge in the world every 100 years. But over the last 100 years, we've been doubling every 25 years. And with the onset of AI, this amount of knowledge that's being put out into the world today is staggering. The Bible says that right before Jesus comes again, the gospel will be preached to every nation of the world. Just a few years ago, all of the main Bible translators got together to work together with the goal of having the Bible translated into every language on the planet. And the goal is by 2030, less than 5 years from now. Right before Jesus comes again, Israel will be front and center in the news. Have you watched the news lately? Right before Jesus comes again, there will be advancements in technology leading to things like global surveillance and forced obedience. That is literally happening right now throughout the world. In places, even in Europe, in Australia, in place, they are now requiring these things that will lead to global surveillance. And there will be strange signs in the skies and in the heavens. Once again, have you looked up recently? The weird things that are taking place in the sky, and it's only going to get weirder as time goes along. No, if you look at the prophecies of the end times that will happen right before Jesus comes again, we're there. We don't know the day or the hour, but we are for sure in the season of the Lord's return. In Romans 13, it says, "The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed." Boy, how perfect that verse is for us today. St. Paul is saying by the anointing of the Holy Spirit that most people in the last days are going to look like this guy. They're going to be slumbering. They're going to be sleeping through all of this stuff that's going on, through all of these signs that are screaming out, "Jesus is coming again very soon." And the world's just going to be sleeping right through it, just like in the time of Noah. Right before the flood came, everyone was just going about their business, thinking that the world is just going to continue on the way that it's always been, sleeping right through that amazing sign of a big boat that was being built on shore. And so St. Paul is saying to us who are believers, it's time to wake up. It's time to recognize the season in which we live. Advent is a time of waiting, where we're waiting for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that waiting is not a passive waiting. It's an active waiting. There's things that God wants us to be doing as we're waiting for Jesus to return. And it tells us at the beginning of verse 11, "And do this, understanding the present time." Understanding the times in which we live, Paul says, do this. Now, what is this? Well, in order to answer that question, we have to back up a few verses to verse 8 of Romans 13. And it says this, "Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another, for whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and whatever other command there may be, are summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law." So understanding the times in which we live, he says, do this. And in one word, what is that? Love. As we are actively waiting for the return of Jesus Christ, he tells us in these verses, be intentional in loving one another. Now, what does that look like? He says, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. I was thinking about it this week. If you're in debt to somebody, you have a connection with that person until you pay off the debt. But once you pay off the debt, you may never have anything to do with that person ever again. But he says, look at loving as a continuous debt that you never pay off. Something that you're going to be giving to people forever and ever for the rest of your life. Just continue to pour out love for people. What does that look like? Well, this is what it doesn't look like. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not covet. And whatever other command there may be are summed up in this command, love your neighbor as yourself. Why did God give us the Ten Commandments? Well, first of all, to help us see that we need a Savior. We need a Savior because we break those commandments every single day. But the second reason he gave us those commands is to show us what love looks like. Love is not taking for myself, it's giving of myself. And all of the Ten Commandments say, don't take for yourself. You shall not commit adultery. If you commit adultery against your spouse, you're not loving your spouse, you're loving you. If you harm another person, you're certainly not loving the other person. If you steal from another person, you are not loving them, you're loving you. You shall not covet. If you say, I want what you have, instead of having the heart of giving, you have the heart for taking. That isn't loving anybody else other than yourself. And so God wants us to spend this time instead of doing what comes naturally in loving ourself. And that's what the world is all about, loving self. God wants us to spend all of our time loving others. Living ready for His return starts with this. It all starts with repentance. For all the time you've spent thinking about how to sin better, and to take for yourself. Ask God for forgiveness, and then receive that forgiveness and that fresh start that He wants to give you because of Jesus. Like I said, Jesus came here the first time as that little baby to live a perfect life, to die on that cross, so that whenever you come to Him humbly and ask Him for forgiveness, you've got a fresh new start. And that's what we celebrate during this Christmas season, that God sent His Son so that we could have that fresh start every day of our life. But then I think this is where a lot of the church gets it wrong. Because they say, well, now that you've got that fresh start, try harder. Work harder to love. But the Bible says that we are to die to sin. And so what does that look like? Number two, then once you've got that fresh start, begin to allow Jesus to live His life through you, to bless and love those around you. Jesus isn't calling you to be better or to work harder. He's calling you to allow Him to live His life, to continue what He started here on this earth. But now through you. In Galatians chapter 2, Paul puts it this way, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but now Christ lives in me. That's God's goal, that we would repent of all of our evil and then make ourselves willing vessels for the Son of God to come in and continue doing what He did when He was here on this earth. What kind of things did Jesus do when He was here? He loved on people. He met their needs. He did a whole lot of teaching. He healed the sick. I read something this week that said roughly 70% of what Jesus did, as recorded in the Gospels, was healing. He drove out demons. This is what Jesus did when he was here in the flesh 2,000 years ago. And what is he asking of us now? Make ourselves available so that he can do all of those things. He can continue that ministry through you and through me. And as we do that, we're going to be loving on people in all of these ways. One more thing that Jesus did. He warned people. He warned people that things are not just going to go on the way that they always have. In Matthew 4, it says, from that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Why was Jesus warning people? Why, wherever he went, did he have this warning for people? Well, because he loves people. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, it says, this is good and it pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. Jesus doesn't want anyone to go to hell. He doesn't want anyone to have to pay for their sins. After all, he already did. He already paid for them. And if people know about the good news of Jesus, if they have that opportunity to receive him as their Lord and Savior and get baptized, then they won't have to go through that punishment, because Jesus will have taken their punishment for them. And God wants that for each and every person. That's why he warns. In Ezekiel 33, it says, so you, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. And when you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. Once again, getting all the way back to our initial slide of Noah up there. God is calling every one of us to be watchmen on the wall, to be looking at the signs of the times, to be loving on people with the love of Jesus, to let him live his life through us. And part of that is going to be saying what Jesus said. It's time to turn your lives over to him, to receive his forgiveness, because the time is growing short. To do these things is to understand the present time in which we live. We are in the time of Advent. We are in that time on the precipice of the return of our King. May we be allowing ourselves to be used by God as we wait for his return. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to a sermon from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota. If you would like more information about St. John's and any of our ministries to our community and beyond, you can go to our website, www.stjohnsbuffalo.org. Thank you, and God bless you.